This morning, in making my comment on the Torah portion, I want to talk about Mitt Romney and Moses. And here's my question, which I hope I'll make at least a tentative stab at answering before the end of the few minutes, which is, why is it that Mitt Romney, who grew up with wealth, seems unable to shake people's image of him as somebody who is wealthy and therefore out of touch, whereas Moses, who grew up with great wealth, became such a successful leader? Because remember, Moses grew up in the palace. When he comes out to see the Israelites, he's never been a slave. He's in fact at least as removed from the average Israelite as Mitt Romney is from the average miner. That is with an E, not with an O, right? In other words, from somebody who's done difficult labor their entire lives. Moses was talking to slaves, and remember, he grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. He grew up in the equivalent of the wealthiest home in all of Egypt. So how is it that he's able to make this visceral connection? And for that matter, how are some other politicians who grew up with great wealth, think Roosevelt, think Kennedy, many others, and some people seem unable to make it? So here is a suggestion, just a suggestion, not a political opinion, and that is, there's a curious contradiction in the way that it's described that God decides that he's going to free the Israelites. Because remember, the Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. So why all of a sudden does God decide, it's time to free them now? Why wasn't it time to free them before? And strangely enough, there are two exactly opposite views that I think can be reconciled. One is that finally God heard Na'akat Mitzrayim, the outcry, the pain, the anguish. Finally, the Israelites couldn't take it anymore, and they cried out to God. Before that, they hadn't done it, but finally they cried out, Mikotzer Ruach, from shortness of spirit, they had enough. And so God, hearing their cry, said, it is time. But Rabbi Simcha Bunim, who's a great Hasidic leader, says the exact opposite. He says, when it tells us about Sivlot Mitzrayim, the burdens of Egypt, the labor of Egypt, the difficulty, you should read that as Sovlanut Mitzrayim. Anybody know what Sovlanut means? Patience. That is, once God saw that the Israelites were patient with their sufferings, in other words, they got used to being slaves, he said, I better free them now, because once you become accustomed to being a slave, it's very hard to learn how to be free. So on the one hand, you have the idea that the Israelites cried out, and on the other hand, you get the idea that they were complacent. How do you put those together? Here's a suggestion that you may take into the election season. I said, you may. We're still a nonprofit. It is possible to be complacent and fed up at the same time. If you are fed up with your own situation and complacent about other people. That is, you can imagine the situation of a slave. You could, as a slave, cry out because of your own sufferings, but when you see other slaves, your heart is deadened. Because that's all you see around you is slavery. So at a certain point, you accept the fact that children will be born into slavery, that people will be beaten, and when it happens to you, you're upset and you cry out, but when it happens to someone else, it's okay. That's just the way of the world. And what you need is somebody who actually is actuated, is moved, not by their own sufferings, but by the sufferings of others. In other words, somebody who works by empathy. Now let's go back to Moses. Moses grows up in the palace of the Pharaoh, and the first thing we learn about him, we know nothing about his growing up, is he leaves the palace, and what does he see? What is Moses struck by? Remember, he's in the most opulent, impressive civilization in the ancient world. Does it say Moses saw the pyramids? He saw the Sphinx? He saw the magnificence of Egypt? No. He saw the sufferings of the children of Israel. In other words, the Israelites were willing to accept Moses because it didn't matter how wealthy he was. What he saw in the world was other people's suffering. And for anyone, that is for slaves too, what is needed is not just that they cry out because of their own suffering. It's when they stopped crying out because of each other's sufferings that God said, I better intervene, because not only are they suffering, but they're losing their capacity for empathy. When someone comes in front of the electorate and talks as though he doesn't have empathy, true or not, and I have no idea, but if you present yourself as though you don't understand what it is for people to have little or to suffer, then you have that emotional disconnection. Successful politicians convince you that they understand you. Moses, by going out immediately and seeing the Israelites suffering, convinced the Israelites that he knew who they were, so they were willing to accept him as their leader. That's what slaves needed. They didn't need another slave. They needed somebody who felt the pain of slavery. And that can be somebody from any economic background, because empathy is not a function of how much money you have. Empathy is a function of your heart. So Moshe, who grew up in the palace, would have won the South Carolina primary in a walk, because he demonstrated by his actions again and again and again that despite the fact that he had known wealth, he also knew pain, and he identified with it, and he was going to put a stop to it, as he does by liberating the Israelites from the slavery that he, Moshe, couldn't stand to see. So let's invite